Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Bonna Pfeiffer.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast for the thread people and the needle people. That was enthusiastic, wasn't it? I got to watch that because you're supposed to build up, you know, excitement and enthusiasm for what's coming ahead here. I didn't sell it worth a hoot.
Oh, well. Thread people, that's good. Yeah. Thread and needle people, that's good. Yeah.
That's all right. Okay, so reminding everybody, the Dayton, Ohio EGA Chapter Symposium 2019, the work of our hands then and now, is April 10 in Kettering, Ohio. And nice lineup of folks like we talked about the last time. And if you're in the area or have time, you should go. EGA-Dayton.webs.com to sign up. All-day deal there. Looks like fun.
Yeah, it does look like fun.
Yeah. You might even learn something. You just never know when you might learn something. So there it is. Dayton, Ohio Chapter, Embroiderers Guild of America, April 10. Go check it out.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Okay, Angie Russell Hunt. Okay, having fun with this because I'm going to ask this question of you and then next week of Arlene.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see how this goes.
Okay.
So Angie Russell Hunt sends a question. Is there a trick similar to the pin stitch used for stitching confetti and cross stitch that will avoid shadows of threads when stitching a piece with a lot of back stitching of writing? I try not to carry from word to word, but stopping and starting each letter separately would be a pain. And she had an example of a piece that had a lot of words to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you have a trick?
I think I do.
Okay.
Because I do this myself when I have back stitching, like let's say there's a star, letters, or if there's a star and you know how like, you know, star lines from the star or whatever. And what I do is I do it similar to a diagonal pin stitch. But instead of going diagonal, like if let's say the line is up and down or whatever, if you're stitching over two threads, I do a down the middle pin, you know, like wherever the back stitch line would be, I do over one thread, come up and go over the other thread. And I try to pull it really tight. And if that makes the back stitched line look, you know, like it does, you know how a back stitch looks straight, like I'll just go over it a second time and then keep on going. But yes, I have used like a pin stitch, except instead of going diagonal, if that's not where the line goes, you understand what I'm saying. I'll go just over one thread, over two threads, up and down.
Yeah. But then if I'm going to the next word,
mm-hmm.
so you end, if you get to the end of a word, then you would end that word?
Mm-hmm. I would end it the same way in a pin stitch.
Yeah.
And then if it looks like you can see that it's not, you know, like you can see that it's going over just one thread rather than the two threads, I just go over it. I pull it tight and then go over it again. And then you can't tell. But in between two letters, like if it was,
like between two letters and or between two words. Because for me, I would just carry most threads letter to letter, but I would end at a word.
I would end at a word too, but I would not in between letters. And you know how to hide that is like if you end on one letter at the like let's say lower right hand corner or whatever, when you drag it to the next letter, go diagonal. Don't go straight across. Go diagonal because that will hide the line, the drag behind on the cross threads. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If you go straight across, you'll see it in the holes. But if you go diagonal, that has more of a likelihood of camouflaging.
Yeah, it breaks up that line.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So go like in bottom right and then go upper right.
Right.
For the next
X. The next letter. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then go from there. Right. But okay. So, so you and I are on the same page then. Between words, then you would just end off that thread and start it fresh for a new one.
Right. Yes, I do. Yeah.
But then using your, to start the next one, say if you're starting a capital R, you would, you could start at the bottom leg of the, on the left side, and you would use a vertical pin stitch to get that going.
Right. And if it, if you can tell, like, see, if you're doing like back stitch letters, you might be able to see like, oh, well, that's just over one thread. That's where they started. If it looks like that, I always pull it tight. And if you're just using one thread, which most back stitches are just using one thread.
Right.
If you pull it tight and then do it over again, it doesn't look, you can't even really tell. You know what I mean? Because that's how I do it. And it really does work. You wouldn't even be able, I can't even tell on mine that there, I've gone over it twice.
Yeah.
So I've done like a pin, a vertical pin stitch or a horizontal pin stitch, however, the back stitch lies. I just do a pin stitch and then pull it really tight and then go over it again so it looks like it's just a continuous back stitch over two threads. Yeah.
And always have to remember that no one ever looks at it as close as you're looking at it when you're stitching. Yeah,
that's right. And unless you're in a judge, I don't even think that a judge would get you on that, but maybe they would. I'm not a judge. But I personally have in mind, because I just did that this year, I did it myself, working on an ornament. So when I saw this, that we were going to talk about this, I thought, oh yeah, I can tell him that I might have, you know, that's how I did it, is I do a pin stitch. And it, you can do it horizontally, you can do it vertically, you can do it diagonally, going either way, it doesn't matter. It all works the same as a pin stitch.
Right, right. Yeah, I think if a judge dinged me on that, I would be in their face with a needle and thread. All right. All right. Show me. Show me how you do it. Yeah. I want the master secret right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, if you do your back stitches with a pin stitch, you can't even see, you know, it's just like a pin stitch, you know, a diagonal pin stitch when we're cross stitching. I mean, you can't even see the tail because you start, you know, I started in the middle, just like I would the middle of two threads, like I would a diagonal pin stitch, and you can't see it at all.
No.
So.
No. Okay. All right. Yeah. I could not figure out how between words where you would normally have a bigger gap, to me, it's worth it to just end.
Yeah. I would never carry between words. Mm-mm.
Yeah. And you can like, say if you're using 40 count linen, sometimes you can cheat a little more with your carry because it's so dense, but
right,
even then I'm kind of careful.
I used to not be, and then I am now. I'm more critical of my work now than I've ever been, just because I'm so aware of stuff.
Yeah.
And I always end in between words now, always, end, because it's just, it'll bother me. And I've just learned that it's just easier to do it rather than sit and think about it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When Curdy Biggs is coming up Sunday, and we were talking about, when we recorded, we were talking about pulling things out. And it was to me, you know, I said then, you know, it's the old, oh, show it to somebody. Oh, it's so beautiful. And if your response in your head is, well, thank you, but then you should have taken it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you're always going to have that, but after the thank you, then you probably should pull it out and do it the way you want it. So that, cause that's all you ever see.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You're exactly right. You know, and then you obsess about it.
Right.
And then it makes it worse than what it really is.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it becomes this great big zit.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, it's but it's, I don't know. Yeah, these things are interesting to me because I love the little things that I think make a difference because they, you know, they compound as you work through a piece. And so I love these little things that you do that instance really, really doesn't make or break anything.
Mm-hmm.
But 15 or 20 of them in a piece starts to have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's worth that. But then it's always at some point, when do you go too far and you take the fun out of it?
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know where that is. It's some,
I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I struggle with that too. When does it, you know, I will say everything. I don't regret, showing my pieces in the fair. And I know that when I first got them back, I was angry. You know, the first couple of times I showed my pieces, and you read the judges' comments and stuff, and you think, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? You know, how dare they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but that has made me such an, just a completely, incredibly, completely different type of stitcher than what I was 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just cherish that information, you know, now. And you look at things that I did, like I have a sampler that I did for my husband and I when we got married. And that was, you know, I was young. I had been stitching probably 10 years by that time, but I was young, 25 years old. I started stitching when I was 15. And I look at that sampler and I cringe. And I don't, because I thought it was beautiful when I got done with it, you know.
Right.
And I look at it and I think, you know, that was good considering what I know then, what I knew then,
right,
compared to what I know now. That it was, it's not bad, but I just look at my pieces now and I think, oh, they're just so much better. They're just so much more polished. And I know it's because of what I've learned, because, you know, with me, I was like a dog with a bone. I want to be the best at everything. You know what I mean? That's just my personality. And whenever I got those dings, I thought, how dare they? I am going to be the best stitcher, you know. I'm going to be the best stitcher.
Yeah.
And so I would just research. And I learned tips and tricks. I tried to do things, came up with stuff on my own. And I'm glad I did that. You know, that just makes me feel, you know, right, good.
Well, yeah. And that's part of the journey of doing this is, mm-hmm, if this many years later, you don't get any better, then, you know, okay.
Yeah.
I think it raises a question.
Right.
You know, you should want to get better, but mm-hmm, always within the bounds of it being enjoyable.
Right.
If it gets,
and, you know, it's, I think too, that people will say, well, I'm not going to have my work judged, and that just takes the fun out of it and stuff like that. And if you feel like that, that's okay. That's all right. You don't have to have your work judged. It, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, there was not a platform like FlossTube where people could show their work in a non-critical, non-judgment format and show it and be proud of it. You know, that FlossTube has had a huge impact, I believe, in spreading and people learning or bringing back people into cross-stitching again. We're having a whole cross-stitch revival now because of podcasts like yours, FlossTube, and things like that. I don't know, is it as critical as entering into a fair now? Because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, is it critical to enter in fairs or judge competitions anymore? I don't know. I don't know that it's as critical as what it was 5-10 years ago. Because it's out there. I mean, FlossTube is out there and a lot of people are talking about it. And I mean, I can't tell you how many emails or letters I've gotten from people that have told me, you brought me back into cross-stitching from seeing your FlossTube. Not from my blog. My blog's been going on for 15 years. I haven't gotten hardly anybody saying they got back into cross-stitch because of my blog. But I've had several, I mean, I'm talking probably 25 or 40 emails of people saying, or comments of people saying, I got back into cross-stitch because I watched your FlossTube channel. So, you know, that's a whole other realm.
That whole FlossTube thing has, you know, I think back to the days when there were cross-stitch stores everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that just went away.
Yeah.
And That I think we can safely say that we are back to that level in cross stitch today. It's just a different form.
Yes.
But the enthusiasm for that aspect of the hobby more than any of the others is so high, and so high among younger people.
Yes.
That I think we're back to those days when, yeah, when you know, there were, because I mean, those stores at for a while there, they were just thriving.
Oh yeah. And I mean, and it was in, you know, I don't know if people have, I know I hear people talk about, I don't know what the name of it is, but we used to have a Ben Franklin. It was called, yeah, Ben Franklin Craft.
That's what we had. Ben Franklin. Yeah.
Okay. We had,
and there Ben was Franklin Lee Ward's.
Course. Yeah. Lee, yeah, Ward's. You know, Michael's, I find it interesting that Michael's and Hobby Lobby and Joann's have really basically gotten rid of a lot of cross stitch. I think that's I think they're going to regret that, you know, because people are looking for, I mean, they're not really looking for like the kind of stuff that Michael's and Hobby Lobby had, I don't think, not kits necessarily, but, you know, this whole, it is, it's in a revival type era, I believe. And I mean, more and more people are cross stitching and they're excited. You're right. The younger generation, people in their 20s are like thrilled and excited and making time to cross stitch. And, you know, they're in the formative years of having children, and those children are being exposed to their mother's cross-stitching or their father's cross-stitching. And I think that's awesome. I mean, I just really think it's an art form that I was afraid was dying 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, it essentially had died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it really
was.
It's
not anymore. No. Yeah. No. No,
and the other stitching techniques are benefiting, riding the coattail of that.
Yeah.
But not it's cross stitch and floss tube and blogging, but mainly it's that floss tube thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the retreats that have sprung out of that.
Yeah.
That's been it. And, mm-hmm, and yeah, other needlework techniques have cross stitch to thank for that, because there's some spillover, but boy, it's, oh, I just marvel. I mean, I don't watch that many floss tube shows regularly, but I just marvel at the number of them that there are, and the number of views that they get. And of course, mm-hmm, those views are deceiving, because I think if you watch one and don't watch it all the way through and then come back, I think that counts as another view. But
yeah.
But regardless, the activity there and the comments, mm-hmm, and the interaction that comes out of that, and then new people will start a floss tube channel because of others, mm-hmm, and break out of that little shell and start, mm-hmm, to share what they're doing. I just think it's an incredible phenomenon that really, really is changing the game.
It is. And, you know, it's like, you know, of course I do it. So, I mean, I do a floss tube channel, and I do it because I don't know why I do it. I just like doing it. And I like talking. I like to hear myself talk, Gary. That's why I do it. But no, I just love needlework. I just genuinely love cross stitch. There will be nothing that ever replaces cross stitch in my heart. I love it. And I love talking about it. But you know, what I find interesting in my floss tube viewing, which I don't understand why this is so, but I love watching people that stitch nothing of what I would ever pick up and stitch. You, uh-huh, know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love watching those. I love watching, I was just talking about this with my friend on the phone today, this morning. I said, I like to watch all the people that are awkward. And it's like, you like are awkward watching them. You feel awkward for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
oh yeah.
You start watching them, and I just like fall in love with them. I really do. I don't, it's the oddest thing, but I just love watching those people that probably 50% of the population that watch Floss's Tube doesn't watch them, but I watch them just because they're endearing and they love it and they love sharing what they do. And it's different from what I do and what other people do. I just love, those are the FlossTube channels that I enjoy the most, is just to watch the sheer joy of what needlework does for that person. Those are the ones that I enjoy the most, the ones that are honest and just enthusiastic and kind and just loves what they're doing. They're in love with what they're doing. That just brings me joy to watch those people, you know, do their floss too. Right. I really like that. To me, that's what is in heart, is like just exciting to me, is to watch people that just love needlework as much as I do. They might not be stitching anything that I would stitch ever in my life, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have value to me. And that's what I like. And I find it just, and I find people that I don't, you know, designers that I knew nothing about, you know, like that Jacob at Modern Folk Embroidery. I didn't know anything about him, right, until I watched somebody that was stitching it. And I was like, what? You know, I got to look this guy up, you know. And I found a couple other designers here recently, and it's like, I knew nothing about them. And I go and look, and it's like, and that's what to me is so wonderful about FlossTube, is that you're just, it's just like a whole smorgasbord of things that I would have never come into contact with or known about had I not tuned into somebody's, cross stitch stuff. So.
Oh yeah. And, you know, I don't know how you'd ever evaluate it, but the number of designers that we have today, you know, did we have that many 15 years ago?
Yeah, no.
And the number of designs that are getting cranked out on a monthly basis, did we have that?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so. And
no, I don't either.
You know, that's another huge aspect of growth, and it's exciting because people are trying different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sophistication, if that's the good word, overall sophistication of cross stitch designs has gone up significantly.
Yes.
I think there's a real, not only because there are more designers and more designs, but there's more people stitching. But also we have the threads, and,
right,
and the opportunity to use colors and variations, mm-hmm, that we didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I it's just, to me, it's just flat out exciting to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I am, you know, I fall in and out of love with FlossTube, but I do that with every, you know, I fall in and out of love with reading. I fall in and out of love with watching television. I fall in and out of love with a lot of things. And I'm on a love affair now again with FlossTube. I can watch it, and then I get a little sick of it, and I have to give it a break, and then I'll watch it. And I'm in one of my watch it phases. And there's been so many people here that start and do it. Now, I'm not saying that, and that you hear people say, oh, well, I tried it, and that stinks. How do you find that exciting? Well, you haven't obviously found somebody that clicks with you. I mean, not every television show or documentary that I watch is going to appeal to you, and not everything that you watch is going to appeal to me.
Right,
just keep on clicking. You'll find somebody that clicks with you. And if you don't, then don't watch it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's a lot of content, a lot of stuff is out there. And I learn something from about every person I watch. I learn something, and it's fascinating. I just love watching people. I'm a people watcher, and I love watching people, and I love how people think about things, and how, you know, setting this whole, I think I've talked about this before, how people plan and execute, and, oh, I'm going to do this, and this, and, you know, I'm going to spin this wheel, and I'm going to stitch this tonight. And, you know, to me, I find that fascinating, because that is not how I approach anything of my stitching at all. And so, you know, I say I'm going to do something, and then it's like, yeah, right. I don't even say what my plans are in stitching anymore, because they never follow through.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't follow them at all. So
no. So I find that just vastly interesting. It just is fascinating to me. I just really, and I'm so glad that we have that open to us. That there's a lot of things that can be said about the internet and the connectivity and social media and stuff like that. But that's not very, you know, positive. Right. But I can say that this is a very positive aspect. And if you're a needle worker, that's something that I feel if you haven't tapped into, you need to tap into it, because it's just a really great thing. I mean, in my opinion, it's just a really great thing. And I think I'm not alone. There's as popular as it is, obviously a lot of people feel like I feel. So you can just find something for every taste. You can find anybody that stitches, you can find whatever you're looking for on FlossTube. And I think that's awesome. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I love on occasion when somebody has a new FlossTube. And so I'll go watch, you know, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all nervous and hesitant, and they've got everything mapped out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to follow it, basically podcast or video casting by number. And mm-hmm. Next on my list is this. And you watch that and then come back two or three later when the light goes on. Wait a minute. I'm just talking about stuff I like to do. And
right.
It's fun for me. And I'm just sharing it with other people who do that. And you know, they're completely relaxed and they just go through it. And it's fun to watch that evolution because that's what it is, wait, I'm amongst friends here. I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm not getting judged on this or anything. I'll just tell you what I'm doing. It's fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I
just think, you know, there's judgmental stuff and there's always every now and then a negative, you know, scenario that pops up. But, you know, that's life, I guess. And you just just go on to the next one. That's what
right.
I do. Just go on to the next one. And so I think that it's an awesome thing. I am so glad and happy to be a part of it. And I would encourage anybody that hasn't tapped into FlossTube. And I mean, not that you even have to start a channel, just watch and enjoy the vast buffet of cross-stitch knowledge that is shared, because it is. I mean, I really enjoy it a lot. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you, in a lot of cases, you learn about people's lives and what they're doing and sometimes too much, but, you follow people and you kind of watch their kids grow up and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that aspect of it too. I mean, it's almost like what is that? Where they follow people around the television shows. What is that called? Those television shows where they like have somebody, you know, like a family and they video them and that's the show. Like Kardashians, not the Kardashians.
Oh, please. No, not like that.
No, not like that. But like, what's those kind of shows? Reality TV.
Oh,
it's sort of like a reality TV type show, kind of, for some, you know, in some aspects, not in every aspect, but you get to know people and you feel like, you know, I can't tell you how many people come up and if I'm at a retreat or something and they come up and talk to me like they know me and I'm like, I don't know you, you know
right,
what I
right.
mean? But they do know
but they
me
do yeah they know you
because they've read my blog or they've watched my YouTube channel or whatever. So I mean, it's I like that too. I always, one of my favorite things is in the wintertime, we walk every night, my husband and I love to look, you're going to think I'm a voyeur, but I love as we're walking down the street to look into people's houses, their windows and see what they're doing. And I don't walk up to their windows and look into
them. Oh, okay. Okay. So, we don't have a nose print on every window in the block. Okay.
No. Here, let me run up there and see what they're doing. But like when we're walking.
Keith just runs across the street. I don't know her.
They're calling 911. But anyway, I love seeing like that picture of family or picture, whatever people like sitting down at the eating supper or, you know, doing the dishes.
Yeah.
I don't know why that appeals to me, but it is. I always am looking in people's windows as we walk by if they're open. And my husband always goes, that's why I close our window blinds is because I know there's people, weirdos like you that watch us. But anyways, I love that. And it's just like, it's a little slice of people's lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that we're all the same. You know, we're all the same. We all kind of live life, you know, on our own terms, but similarly. And that's another thing, aspect of FlossTube that I like. So,
yeah. Sir, is that your wife? Oh, no, that's that nutty lady. She was around the corner. No, my wife's at home cooking dinner right now. Yeah, no. No, officer, no. You know, actually, I was just out getting a breath of fresh air, and no. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have observed her walking to the window,
yes,
however.
I have, yes. I can testify to that in court, yes. Your husband's a saint. He's an absolute saint.
He thinks I'm weird. I just think that it's just, I love that. Like, just from the sidewalk, see how people live their lives. Just for the brief moment that I'm walking by there. It's just like cozy. I just like get a good feeling about my neighbors when I'm spying on them from the window, from the sidewalk, not from the window, from the sidewalk. So,
right. Yeah. Let's make that very clear. This is from the sidewalk. Yes. A public space. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, Vanna. Whoa. Okay.
I don't think any of my neighbors listens to this podcast. Oh, shoot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Okay. Spun down the road there. Mm-hmm.
I know. We did get off track there.
Yeah, that's all right, because now we have some insight that we didn't have before. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Woo. Okay, so speaking of all of the designs that we see these days, mm-hmm. I mean, you are one of the all-time collectors. Like, you're probably dangerous.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Are there things that catch your eye that say, I got to do that? Do you find yourself, or is each one a unique thing? Because I think for, you know, and I asked that question not just because I'm nosy, but I think there are things that appeal to me, and I've not categorized them yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there is. I think it's the same thing as like walking on the sidewalk, Gary. I like and looking into
No,
people's
it's not
windows.
The same thing, Vanna. No. That's not the same thing.
If you think about the things that I've stitched, you know, like think about what I've had on my blog or whatever. I like home. I like houses. I really do like houses. I like to stitch houses or like pictures of domestic life. That appeals to me.
Okay.
I like hearth and home type things. So I think that's why I like Little House Needleworks. That was one of the things that drew me to her from the very beginning when she was like in leisure arts because she was in For the Love of Cross Stitching magazine first, Diane Williams was. And she designed for them. And when I went to my very first cross stitch shop and was just looking through the patterns, my very first pattern that I ever purchased from a cross stitch shop was Blackbird Inn, which I just framed in January. I cross stitched it a second time, this time for me. And that her style appeals to me. I think it's color for me too. I like a lot of like the browns and reds and black and gold mustardy type colors, kind of primitive country colors, I guess. That appeals to me. But then I also like samplers. Now, I'm not one on like, I'm not like on those motive samplers where it's just a whole bunch of motifs all over the place and maybe a verse. And I'm not big on those. I admire them. I think they're beautiful, but they don't appeal to me to stitch. I like a very symmetrical, maybe an alphabet, maybe some pasture animals, a barn or a house or some shepherds, and that's it. You know what I mean? That appeals to me. I like cross. I'm big into Christmas. So Santa Clauses appeal to me a lot. I've recently have been drawn to Teresa Kogut. I don't know if you're familiar
I watch her videos. Yes.
Yeah. I took a painting class with her a few years ago. I mean, an online one. And her style of art appeals to me. And her cross stitches appeal to me. Like, she's got some coming out at Nashville, and I haven't seen one yet that I would not purchase. No, I mean, it's just, she has this one with a scarecrow and a pumpkin that, you know, she gave a sneak peek of. It's beautiful. I think she does beautiful Santa Clauses. She has a couple of those coming out in at market. So Santa Clauses appeal to me. Prairie Schooler, I think that's my timeless. How can you beat the Prairie Schooler? That woman was a genius long before her time, you know, because she just started designing way back in the early 80s. And because I was in high school and college and started collecting Prairie Schooler patterns when I was in college, and I didn't have hardly any money, and I was going to Ben Franklin and buying them. And so she has, Pamela Bird has always appealed to me. You know, it's just that to me, it's just when I look at something, does it make my heart happy? And is it like, I think I'm drawn to more like a hearth and home. Cause if you look at my things that I have hanging on my walls, it's predominantly like houses, and I have a few reproduction samplers. I like the holidays. I like holiday type things to mark the seasons. That's what I predominantly like, I think.
Yeah. See, now that you say that, I see that in everything you stitch. Yeah, there is a common thread through everything. Yes.
Yes.
Even if you do the holiday stuff, oftentimes it's got that hearth and home.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's my thing. And now, not to say that, you know, I also am kind of drawn to monochromatic type designs. So that modern folk embroidery, when I saw that, his stuff, I like geometrical designs, like the Quakers, that appeals to me. So I like those, and I have like maybe one or two two things that I can think of that are like all monochrome designs. I kind of like that too, like where it's all one color. So that appeals to me. I don't know. It's all, even the ones that I've done that are monochromatic, it's all like hearth and home type thing. So that's what appeals to me is the hearth and home thing.
No matter what it is, you come back to that.
Yes. Yes. That's my deal. You know, cause I've been asked that before. What do you choose? What speaks to you when you do cross stitch? And it has to be just hearth and home and holiday. You know, I change my decor in my home for every season. And that's why finishing has been my big thing in life, is because, you know, there's only so many holes you can knock in your wall. And so I've learned to just, you know, to that I had to start making stuff instead of knocking holes in my walls. So yeah, it's all been about for me. And I mean, who would think that, you know, I would have made my whole life around cross stitch like I have, because I certainly have. So
yeah,
there you go. Mm.
Okay.
What about you? What do you like?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I think what I like, if I had to put a word, I think it's the challenge.
Yeah, I would say that's true for you. Yes.
Yeah. Needlepoint is what I love. Mm-hmm. You know, if you said you got to choose one, that's what I'd choose every time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the challenge. And so that's what gets me into some of these other areas, is the challenge. Even if it's cross stitch, like the Sarah Brazier sampler I'm working on now, you know, the challenge of that is it's a monster.
And, right.
And I finished a motif last night, and it worked out fairly well. And so I was showing it to Marga, and then I held it back. Oh man, there's a long way to go on this thing. Oh Jesus, a long haul. But there's the challenge of doing that appeals to me.
Right.
And I think that's why I keep in needlepoint going to Debbie Rowley, because of the stitches she uses in the challenge. And I just bought a Curdy Biggs, who will be our guest Sunday. I just bought a Curdy Biggs design, And I know that's what appeals to me with her work is the challenge.
Right.
I think that's what it is, that I really don't care what technique it is. It's that challenge. It's, you know, can you pull it off? Can you make it work? And because I know that's what drew me to Hardanger when I, you know, I've dabbled in that some.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, all right, you're going to cut a hole in this cloth. And you're going to cut another one?
Yeah.
And how is that? And I had to know. I had to do it.
Yeah.
I had to know how you can cut a hole and not have that whole thing come unraveled. And it doesn't. And it's very cool. And it's fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think that's probably it. Because, like, I can't really say, like you can, hearth and home. I don't really have anything. I love symmetry, though.
Right.
You know, the symmetry, the evenness, everything's all in proportion and lined up. I do like that.
Right.
I do. I guess it's the challenge, you know, sit down. Can I pull this off? Can I make this Jessica look just right?
Right.
And, yeah, probably that's what it is. But now see, my wheels are spinning. So I have to, think about this more.
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, think about it. That's the difference between a man and a woman. I mean, a man doesn't typically sit around and think about how am I going to decorate my house? How am I going to do that?
No.
And I would say that if my husband was going to be a cross stitcher, which believe me, I've tried to get him to be a cross stitcher. And I said, you can do it. You can do it. You know, it's, you just build this house. You just, you know, I haven't got him to do it yet, but I can say that if I, you know, I think that that's what it would be for a man would be the challenge. To me, I don't want to change. You know what I mean? That doesn't appeal to me, a challenge.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess everything's a challenge, but I don't go seeking out things to think, you know what I mean? To
right,
do it.
Right.
I'm doing it to decorate my house.
Right. Yeah. And I don't see, that's the last thing on my list.
Yeah.
When I finish it, I really don't care what happens to it after it's done.
You know, see, and that you're not, so you're a process stitcher is
right,
what you are.
Right. Yeah.
And see, that's, to me, that's like foreign to me because I have a idea in my head of what I want to do with my piece when I get it finished before I even start it.
Oh, see. Yeah. Last thing on my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but there's lots of, I know that there's women that are process stitchers. Like, you've interviewed her, Nicole, of Nicole's Needlework.
Yes.
Okay. She's a process stitcher.
Yeah. I have a sense she's got a dresser full of.
Yeah. She's got tubs full of stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, so, you know, that's not what I am. I mean, people will say, do you know what you're going to do with it before you stitch it? A lot of times I know what I want to do and I have to go find a design to fit what I want to do with
it. Well, you're that far ahead of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I knew I had the finish that I, in my mind of what I wanted. And I just had to go find a design to fit what I wanted to, how I wanted to finish it. So yeah, no, that's how I think about it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah. You know, whatever. Do whatever you want with it. I don't care.
Yeah. Does your wife ever say, "Hey, I have a hole here, and I want you to stitch yada yada yada"? Does she ever say that?
No, but when I start things more than once, it's been, "Oh, I know where that's going."
Oh, really?
Oh,
see?
Yeah.
So I can understand that.
Yeah, no, I know where that's going or what that's going to be when it's done, if it ever gets
mm-hmm.
done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
No, I'm sitting here because I record at the end of the, at the foot of our bed, but I'm sitting here looking at a Debbie Rowley pillow that
mm-hmm.
She knew before I was halfway done, she knew it was going to be a pillow to go on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's...
Yeah.
But yeah, she, no, that's, and that for me, it's, yeah, do it here, just take it, whatever. I don't care.
Right.
Cause yeah, it's it in this pillow that I did, there were several challenges in there and that's how I look at it right now, just staring at it. Oh yeah. I remember doing that. That was fun because I figured out how to pull that off make it look right. And yeah, that was, so that was fun for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just different approaches, different strokes for different folks. You know?
That's how they say it. That's how they say it. All right. We're calling it there, Vonna.
All right.
Curdy Biggs, Sunday. Now, the sound, Curdy sound, I will warn people, the Curdy sound was not as clean as I would like. Still very listenable. But it had been 2 years since we had her. She was, I think, the fifth guest. And so it's been 2 years. And what a tremendous conversation with her. What a tremendous designer, needlepoint, charted canvas designer. And we get off into all kinds of things. And we talk about, fair warning for those of you who listen in order, we talk about several of her designs. And I'll have them on the page, WeTalkFiber.com, for that podcast so you can see them. And then if you're watching the FlossTube video, then I'll try and map them out so that they're showing up while we're talking about them. But very helpful there. But, yeah, the pictures will be available. You just have to look for them. But it's fun to just kind of dip into the mind of Curdy Biggs and how she goes about her designs and talking about pulling off sections of a design to make ornaments or do something else with them. That was fun. That was that was a fun discussion, and that applies anywhere.
Yeah,
because you've done that several times.
Yeah,
make an ornament or make a small little piece, stand-up piece or something out of a bigger design, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a great conversation with Curdy, but I will say it will help if you can look at the pictures of her designs. Just amazing to see people like that that piece those things together and come up with all the stitches and make them all work. It's just amazing to me,
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I could never be a designer, ever.
I don't know.
I've had a lot of people say, oh, you could do it. Yeah, well, I just, my mind doesn't think that way. And it's kind of like I like to stitch. I don't want to think about designing.
Yeah, I could see how it wouldn't appeal to you.
Yeah.
I think it wouldn't appeal to you, but I think that you could do it because of what you can do with finishing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a stretch, but I can see how it wouldn't appeal to you. Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't appeal to me at all. That's just not where my heart is, but that's all right. That's good. Cause there's lots of other designers and I remember Curdy from her when she appeared 2 years ago, and I'll be anxious to hear what she has to say this weekend.
Oh, it was great fun. It was great fun. And it just kind of cause I don't know how many hundreds of designs she's done, and just to kind of dip into that mind and understand what goes on in those, because her pieces are rather complex and
yes,
dense.
They are. Yeah.
And so that was a good conversation. So Curdy on Sunday and Arlene next Wednesday, and then I don't know what. So there we have it. I'll figure it out. Oh, I do have a Sarah Rakestraw coming up. Speaking of, we need to end this thing, but Sarah Rakestraw, who Golden Hind, Hinde in UK, gold work.
Oh,
cannot wait. I haven't recorded it yet. Cannot wait to talk with her.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Because that gold work stuff, that's, you talk it's about, beautiful. Boy, those people who do that, that's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and she does it well. So, yeah, anxious to talk to her about that. Yeah, that's a different world there. And you talk about challenges. Yeah, I do. I want to try. I want to see. Yeah, I do. All right, that's it. We got to stop. Thanks, Vonna.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks for listening.